shall we pray? Our blessed eternal Father, we stand before you with hearts full of appreciation and thanksgiving, because no man can of his own keep himself. We thank you for your thoughts towards us, to guide our paths, to work upon us, to make yourself known unto us, to follow the way that you have made for us this end time, as you call the children of Israel out of the world, and you made them your own, and you gave them your instructions to do only what you bid them, to separate them from the rest of the world, a peculiar people. Lord, we are grateful that you have given us this understanding through the message of the hour. And we are grateful, Lord, that the same words that you have sent to us is preparing us, making us ready for the place you are going to prepare for us. We thank you. Thank you for daily providing for our needs. Thank you for your protection and guidance, your healing hands, the testimonies that you daily have to our lives. Are you always come on the scene to break the backbone of the enemy and to raise a standard whenever it comes like a flood? We thank you for being faithful to your promises. Lord, without that, we are not going to be what we should be. And we are grateful to you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You helped our fathers in the old time to go through with this revelation. And we believe, Lord, we've been the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are more than able to keep us true. Thank you, everlasting Father. We are here in your presence this morning as your people who have been called by you. We pray, Lord, that all our needs, our physical needs, our spiritual needs, the needs for our body for healing, Lord, the salvation of souls, deliverances, stretching forth your hand to intervene in matters that nobody knows, but only you can intervene. Lord, as needy people, we present ourselves before you, that, Lord, you be gracious and be merciful to us. Let your power be manifest in our lives. Grant it, Heavenly Father, take control of the entire service of today. Inspire us. Anoint us as your children. Speak to our hearts. Master Savior, transform our lives. Cause us to enjoy your presence. Give inspiration to your servants. Master and anoint the congregation. So that every one of us, Lord, from now till the service we end in the evening, it will be your presence, Lord, that will be doing everything, and that the blessings will be ours, so you will be glorified. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 6. As we continue with looking at the unseen. From verse 8. Then the king of Syria war against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him off, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spare where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. God bless you. Continue with the Sunday school this morning. Last time, we were looking at a man. The prophet said, when a man is lost, is totally, when his sheep is lost, is totally lost, as we are told. He said, also, when a man is lost, is totally lost. He needs a shepherd to guide him. And if he doesn't have a shepherd, he's going to be roaming until he enters into danger. So he needs a shepherd, a savior, who will guide him back to himself. Praise be to God. And we try to look at it. The reason why that man, the prophet said, cannot find his way back. Because he can't find his way back. The reason why he couldn't find his way back was what we're trying to look at. So today, I want to look at another thought which the prophet also projected here. Praise be to God. But let me read that together so that we blend everything. From the sermon, looking at the unseen, preaching Jeff, the one that's preaching Jeff, 58 October thought. It is a strange thing that man who was made in the image and the likeness of God and was called of him to walk by faith, believing that God is, we walk, we choose to walk by sight instead of by faith. The man that God called to walk by faith, we choose to walk by sight. After his makeup, his being, and all that dwells in him was fashioned in the likeness of God. That was before he fell. After the fall, he became perverted. So when he fell, that when he began to show the nature of a lost person, trying to find a way out for himself. But he could not, as displayed by Eden, when he went to get a fig leaf for himself and for his wife to cover their physical nakedness. But they were still naked before God. That is not solve the problem. A man made to live with God in this manner, yet has he chosen to walk by sight? He wants to be his own boss. He wants no one to tell him what to do. That's just the nature of man. He proved to be thus in the Garden of Eden when he had lost his fellowship with God by choosing to go his own way, not having anyone to rule over him. The prophet said he should have been crying, my God, I'm lost. But he was finding a way for himself, leaning on his own understanding. And that's the way of everyone that has not surrendered to God. You want to find solution to your problem, your physical problem, your spiritual problem, every other problem outside of God's provision. Now, there is nothing that concerns us as human beings that the message of that word does not touch. Everything about us, the message is not silent about it. So if we don't apply the message to our lives, we won't get the benefits of the message. So
That is just what the prophet is trying to get at us. That God had made provision for us to solve our problems. He has made provision to solve our problems. All we need to do is to recognize that is the solution to our problem, that He has the solution to our problems. And that is why He taught us in the sermon, lean not unto thy own understanding. Now, there are things we have learned in school. There are things we have learned in course of our training, professional training, technical training, academic training, artisans, every other thing that we have learned that, you know, to a human you can use to solve problems. The prophet said, if the approach we are taking is contrary to God's approach, then we should not lean on our understanding. We should lean on God's understanding. The problem this nation is facing, if they will go to God, of course the scripture is written, they can't, because they don't. But usually the solution is with God. If the head, of course, is a Muslim, if any leader of any nation will recognize the sovereignty of God in affairs of men, and he will go to God and say, God, I'm just a man. I have fluttered. I don't know what to do with this country. Come and help me. If he keeps his ministers aside, keep his counselors aside, kill all his technical advisors, all these whoever that he relies on to give him correct information with which he will work to solve Nigeria, they've been applying their human wisdom. Is that a solution? Man cannot solve his own problem. No wonder the prophet said the solution to the world problem is who? Jesus Christ. It's the only solution. If they will only recognize it. But man will not. They will crack their brain until they will have sleepless night. Yet, there can be solutions to problem. So man is, and that is why it's very difficult for man to be managed. Man is the only species in all the creations of God that you cannot manage. He will rebel. He will rebel. Because he has a nature, is a personality. You will think different from the way you are thinking. And you will see very reason why God will not allow anyone that is not filled with the Holy Ghost to enter into his kingdom. Because he will be a rebel. His nature will think contrary to God's nature. And it will cause problem. The reason Satan was like that, that his nature got perverted. And then he began to think against God. You know what the scripture says, that he was perfect from the beginning of his days. Until what? Iniquity was found in him. So that's the way man is. We have to solely depend upon God. Let's move forward. But the man is made like a sheep, and a sheep cannot find his way back, I'm told. When he's lost, he's totally lost. And that's the way with man. When he's lost, he's absolutely helpless. He must have a shepherd to guide him. A man, when he chooses, as the day goes on, as the days go on, we find man continually getting worse, choosing rather to walk by sight than instead of by faith. The reason situation gets worse is because we're leaning on our understanding. Instead of walking by faith, by the unseen. And when he does that, he robs the inner man, which is the soul, and that's the eternal part of the man. Praise be to God. Now, we are here in paragraph 20 to 24. If the time permits us, that we want to look at. A man, when he chooses, as the day goes on, we find man continually getting worse, choosing rather to walk by sight than instead of by faith, by the unseen. And when he does that, when he walks by sight, when he depends upon his own wisdom, take the word is as generic. When any man depends upon his wisdom, knowledge and understanding, experience to approach life, he's leaving God out. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are who? Sons and daughters of God. So we need not to use our experience, our wisdom, our understanding to solve problems. Because when we try to solve a problem, by solving one problem, you are creating another problem. Is that not true? That's what we are told. When you are solving one problem, you are creating another. Because the system you are using is creating another problem. But when it is God that is going to solve that problem, he knows every other problem that is associated with that. One solution he gives solves every other attached, connected problems. So that is why we have to depend on him. That's why we have to look up unto him. And that is the reason for the importance of revelation. And when he does that, he robs the, when he walks by sight, he robs the inner man, which is the soul. And that is the eternal part of man.
Let's look a little bit here.
When a man walks by sight, he robs the inner man,
which is his soul.
What does he rob the inner man of? He robs the inner man of the spiritual blessings, of peace and joy, of your right standing with God. Abraham, in his own experience, when he, in the sermon, as I thought of my ways. What led to that sermon was his experience when he, I think that was when he took his wife for their marriage anniversary one time. And he kept them in one place and he went to the mountain for, he went to hunt, thinking that he will use an animal that he has killed to do the, what do you call it now? Anniversary. I think it was their wedding anniversary. To do it. But he went into the wilderness. I went to the bush, mountain where as usual, thinking that, you know, everything would be all right. But suddenly, cloud began to change. And what he expected was not. And snow began to fall, wind began to blow, and the place became very dark. He couldn't find his way back. But he depended, he relied on his ability as an hunter. He relied on his ability as a woodsman that he will find his way back. He tried all his abilities. He tried all his efforts to be able to trace his way back. He came from that place. But when situation changed, he lost his track. But he was still having confidence in himself that I will still get my way. He tried, as he will go this way, he will come back to the same spot. He will make efforts, he will go this way, try to follow this way, and he will come back to the same point where I left. That happened to him more than once. And then he became nervous. Then he realized that. He said the Indians call it dead walk. You come back to the same point where you left. You have walked up and down and you come back to the same spot. Which means you are not progressing. And his wife and the boy were there. He said, and this wind will kill them. Was it blizzard or whatever thing that environmental something that used to happen in their place. Will kill his wife and his boy there. He became nervous. He was still making efforts trying to see what he was going to do. Then suddenly, he began to realize that, Lord, I'm lost. He said, when he came to that point, then he began to hear the voice, I am the present here in time of trouble. I am the present here in time of trouble. He said, then he bowed down and he said, God, I try my best. My best is not the best. I accept that I'm lost. I need a Savior. Please come and help me. And that was when God intervened. So when he surrendered, God intervened and God showed him the way. And the line that the light flashed and he saw the line that led directly to where his wife and the baby was, he had to lay hold on that, and that walk guided into where his wife.
and his baby was.
If we lean on our understanding, we can solve a single problem, but we can also solve all the problem. But when God provides solutions to our problem, he solves it all. That is why we must have confidence in God, in his word.
There are a number of things I could say, but well, let's go.
Now, when he chooses to walk by sight, he displeases God. Because that means he's leaving God's way, he's going his own way. And there's a way that seems right to a man. And the Bible says the end thereof is what? The way of success, the way of peace, the way of joy, is death.
The way of death, the way that seems right to that man, that he wants to go. Because a man sees his way right, and the Bible says that there's a way that seems right to the man, and the end of it is destruction.
That will not be by faith. That will be a man that looks at the way by sight. Just like Lot did when Abraham asked him to choose.
Abraham gave him the option of choosing first, and he chose by sight. He looked at the land that was where water green. And I will be able to feed my animal. My animal will be fat.
They will reproduce. I become big man. I will be this. And gradually, he found it. After he made that choice,
though Abraham chose a patch land, and after taking that position, he gradually found himself in Sodom.
If not the mercy of God. And in fact, everything that he achieved, his cows, his cattle, his sheep, everything that he had before he parted from Abraham, did he have any of them with him?
No, just few people are answering me.
Even his wife, he lost his wife. He lost his son-in-law. Even some of his daughters too.
Go and read your Bible. You will see that Lot had more than two daughters.
Those two with him were virgin that were in his house with him. The one that are married, he went to the son-in-law to go and tell them. It was like I did taste to them.
Sodom will be destroyed.
What is wrong with this old man?
We have had you. Thank you.
They perished in that place. He lost almost everything. And finally became the father of his... He became the husband of his daughters.
That was the choice he made.
He chose by sight.
He became the husband of his daughters.
Is that not?
Whether he wanted to do it or he didn't,
he became it.
Because his two daughters had babies from him.
One of the babies gave Israel a tough time. The Moabites.
Wrong choice.
So we will never come out right when we choose by sight. We will rob our souls of peace. We will rob our souls of joy, of right standing with God. We will not be pleasing to God. When you choose by sight and you are looking at the physical, you are assessing it and looking at it and say, well, if I go like this, if I do this, if I do this.
Let's look at Psalm 37, if I'm correct, as it comes to my mind. Psalm 37, I think it should be. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'll read from verse 1.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
The problem that human beings have is lack of patience. Man doesn't want to wait for God. God has his ways. God has taught us a lot of lessons through nature. A farmer who digs the land, takes the corn, and he plants it. In 3 months, he's not expecting, until 3 months, he's not expecting to get corn from that, to get harvest. But if he goes to the field the next month, and he says, I want to harvest something here. You this corn, what is wrong with you? And that is the, now listen very closely. Science trying to interrupt nature. Trying to reduce the number, the natural process that a corn is supposed to take, or any seed is supposed to take before it produces. Science has introduced some things into it, hybridization, to reduce perhaps the years that it will take it to. So that's why this generation is impatient. Somebody will tell you that, I cannot plant something for 5 years, I've been waiting on the 5 years before it produces. They want something that you plant today, next year, they're harvesting it. And there are fruit trees like that. Within a year, it's grafted. Within a year, it's already producing. They said those things. And the prophet said, what does it give to human? Death. Mango as big as, almost as big as this speaker. Science is trying to make everything big. There are some corn, the prophet says some corn that they say. He said, no sweet. Because science is trying to run faster. They are not patient. God has his order.
He has his natural way of working.
So the problem that man has,
that is why man is not, that is why man is not ready to wait for God until God does it. He has his natural course. Like I tell people, I say, there's a timetable of life for every one of us. God has a timetable for you. When it will be time for him to do for you what he has planned. Until that timetable comes, wait. Keep praying. Keep trusting. When it is time, he's going to do it. Even when you are not even asking him. Because it is his program. It is his program. When you understand that God has timetable for every human being, like in the school, there is timetable. When government is supposed to come, English will not come by that time. When mathematics is supposed to be taken, that is not when the physics will take place. They already had time for that. So an English teacher will go to the English class when it is English time. Except there is a swapping between the two teachers of mathematics or teachers of chemistry. They do that. Okay, can you take my time? My period? I will take your period. I want to do something. But normally, this is supposed to be the time of physics that the physics teacher goes into the class. The student will be preparing, their notes will be on the table expecting the physics teacher to come. But if the teacher were not prepared, they were not told, they have their physics. Notes on the table, their textbooks, everything getting ready. Only to find the teacher coming to the class. Oh, God, we don't have you. You are not the one. We are having chemistry or physics. The teacher will embarrass himself. He will only give them excuse that I have exchanged, swap the period with your physics teacher. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't. He has his timetable. Just relax and wait. When it is time for him to do it, there is no demon in the world that can stop it. So he is God. Just like we have read in the earlier part of here, the prophet said, he called those things that be not as though they were. He is the creator. It is of reason that word creator makes more meaning to me. When you think about God being the creator, in other words, there is no need. There is no need. I mean, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. I mean, there is need. I mean, need in the life of anybody.
that he cannot meet. There is no need. I was telling some people, I said, if in God's program, there is need for me to walk over here, to walk over this place, he will do it. When is this needed? That is why Abraham said that Jesus Christ, that Father Abraham called him in that Genesis, where God asked him to kill, sacrifice his son, and God supply. Calling Jehovah. The prophet said, God will supply his need. And as long as it is the need of God, as long as it is the need of God, he will supply it. So, a man should find himself, just put yourself in that program, in that need of God. When you connect yourself with that need, just relax. When you connect yourself with the need of God, the need of God is a necessity. It is what God cannot fail. He can't fail to do it. His program, it is part of him. He will be answerable to his promises. He will answer queries if he doesn't do it. And nobody can query him because it's unquestionable. And because it's unquestionable, he will do what he promised that he's going to do.
May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads.
Shall we pray? Righteous eternal Father, we thank you very much for this word that proceeded from your throne of mercy. We are grateful unto you, Lord, for this wonderful message that is full of vitamins, Lord, that is meant for our sustenance here on earth, both spiritually and physically. Thank you for the portion that has been fed to us in this Sunday school. Dear Lord, we just want to ask that you fall on good ground in every heart, that the evil bear will not pick any of them out, neither will the tongue choke anyone, or anyone be scorched by the sun. May your mercy stand for every one of us. Let your spirit water this things in our heart, that may let our faith grow, O God, to maturity, to where we can benefit from all these blessings. Thank you, eternal Father. Bless your servant that you have used, and let God the honor of his ministry, and strengthen him for the rest assignment he has for the day. Be with us as we await more blessings in the services of the day. Take glory and honor to thyself. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.